concerned. And I don't have any plans on trying to sound right and good. I'm concerned that the people in today's society have a wrong idea of being Christians. That's my concern. I'm concerned that men and women do not understand being a Christian. I'm concerned that we have a wrong idea of being a blood-bought saint purchased by Jesus Christ. I'm concerned that the world has made being a Christian merely meeting Jesus at the cross and leaving there with a cross on your neck, and you are now a saint. You have an idea, you have a mental understanding that someday when I get to stage A and B, I will have to figure out this Christian life, and I'll have to kneel, or I'll have to say some sort of a prayer, and I'll have to become a Christian. But I'm concerned this morning that there's too many people that get there and they leave and they never changed. Never changed. The burden I have this morning is this. And I don't always know how these things align. So this is just for sake of the message. The title is Purchased Without Possession. Purchased Without Possession. Once a police officer was called into a strip mall where there was a lady there, and she was causing a fuss. She was just screaming, and she was reading her rights and telling people that I have a right to do this, and this is my right. Read the Constitution. These are the things that I have a right to do. And so anyway, the store manager called the police, and the police came out, and they tried to talk to the lady. And they said, listen, you just need to settle down. You just need to listen to us. You need to leave the store. And the lady just started just going ballistic. And she started telling them that I have rights and you don't understand. And she said, furthermore, I'm a Christian. And something stuck out to me. The police officer said, ma'am, you're what? He said, you're what? What are you? She said, I'm a Christian. She said, he said, no, ma'am, you need to look up the word. What is a Christian? So this morning, that's the burden on my heart. Are you a Christian? Wait a minute. What's a Christian? Are you a Christian? No, no, hang on. What's a Christian? I'm concerned that we have a wrong idea of Christianity. I'll start out with a story. Some time ago, probably a month ago, and I might have shared this story with some of you, I was sitting at home one morning, and my phone rang. And I was sitting there, and I answered the phone, and the man on the phone, he says, Nate, this is Al. He says, will you please help me? And I had no idea who I was on the phone with. And I said, Al, I don't know who you are. He said, I need help. Please come help me. I'm going to shorten the story for sake of time. And long story short, I had met Al at one of our cookouts. And when I met him, he was high on drugs that day. And I told Al, I said, here's my phone number. If you ever want to get right with God, just give me a call. And this was several months before the phone call. And he called me, and he made the connection, and I made the connection, and I thought, whoa, wow, maybe he really wants to be right with God. And I don't know where he's at. So anyway, that morning, I talked to Al for a while, and I told Al, if you're really serious, after I shared with him the cost of being a Christian, I said, call me in 2 hours if you really want to do this. 2 hours later, Al called me, and he says, please come help me. So after a while, I talked to my wife, and I went down to where Al was staying. And I went in to Al, and we talked a while, for probably an hour. And I said, Al, you have to count the cost of being a Christian. And I talked about denying ourselves and following Jesus Christ. And he says, I'll do it. And so he said, I am so burdened down with sin. He said, the weight of my sin is so great, Nate. He said, I've been doing drugs since I was 10 years old, and I'm 52 now. He said, and I mean the bondage, the debt is so great, I want to be delivered. And so Al knelt on the floor, and he prayed to God. And he stood up, and I said, Al, what do you think? Where are you at? I said, are you right with God? He said, I think so. I said, so what if your girlfriend comes in here with the drugs that you've been doing for a long time, 40-some years? I said, what are you going to do right now? He said, Nate, I'm going to take them. Purchased without possession. I'm concerned this morning that Christianity is simply an idea. I'm concerned this morning that Christianity is the fact that people want to be released from their debt. They want to take away the weight of sin. They want to be delivered from the penalty. They want to have the weight taken off. They want to live free. They don't want to have the bondage of sin on their lives. But they never want to give Jesus Christ possession of their heart. Consider with me Hebrews 10 this morning. It says in Hebrews 10 in the beginning of the chapter, he says that he was tired of the blood of bulls and goats. And he says, this is the covenant that I will make with you. He said that I will put the laws in your hearts. He said, I will put my nature in you, a new nature. Galatians 2 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I don't live, but Christ lives. That's the Christianity that I want to promote today. A Christianity where you no longer have possession of your life. Consider this morning the cost. Consider the cost for your sin this morning. Consider the price that was paid for your sin. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just need you at this moment. Please give me strength. And Lord, I just call on your throne to just visit us with your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 6, the last part of the chapter, I find something very interesting. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. And he says something in the last part of the scripture that really spoke to me. He's talking about immorality in the beginning part of the scripture. Fornication, flee fornication, and every sin. And he says in verse 19, he says, what? I just picture Paul ministering to these people. He says, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He says, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're not your own. For you are bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So consider this morning coming to the cross with the weight of sin and asking the Lord to forgive us and take the penalty away, take the guilt away, take the sin away, deliver me from the weight. But along as you leave, you understand that there's parts of your life that nobody will ever get. Even Jesus Christ. Nobody will get that part of my life. Yes, Lord, I don't want my sin. But I know what I'm doing over here. Yes, Lord, I don't want the weight of my sin. But I know what's going on right here, God. I got this. I'll handle this one. You take my sin, and I'll deal with this one. Paul says, what? Corinthians, what? Don't you know that you were bought with a price and you're not your own? The thought came to me this morning of wasted blood. Wasted blood. If you're living your life in full possession, you're wasting the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul was concerned. He said, don't you know you're not your own? You are the temple of God, where the Holy Spirit resides. You are bought with a price. Imagine this morning, and I know I've shared this story, but I want to take it a little further. But imagine this morning if Terry took all of his sons and he went to DeKalb County Courthouse. And in the courtroom was a criminal standing trial. And the judge was about to give him the full blow, the death penalty. And Terry's in the back, and he's got Zach and Connor and Luke and Joash. And he raises his hand and he says, judge, wait before you pass judgment upon the criminal. And he takes Connor and he walks him to the front of the courtroom and he says, no, judge, here's my son. Deliver the man. He used to work for me. I know Bobby. He used to work for me. Deliver him and take Connor as a full payment for his sin. Picture this morning, this scene, and Bobby goes free from the weight of sin, free from the penalty, free from the debt, free forevermore. Out the courtroom he goes, and Connor is paying the price for his sin. The courtroom dismisses. Terry goes home without Connor. And Bobby goes free. And he puts a cross on his neck, and he has been forgiven by Terry. And every once in a while, he swings by over to Terry's house, and he drops a fresh, cold, or hot meal off for Terry's family. Here you go, Terry. And off he goes. Down the road, he's living his life. Oh, no, 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 no. He hasn't gone back into the ghettos, and he hasn't killed nobody again. But Terry only sees him once a year. And if it's a good year, maybe every 6 months. And if Terry has a tragedy, he'll for sure be there. But besides that, Bobby is nowhere to be seen. Purchased without possession. Tell me if the anger of a father would not be kindled. Kindled because he gave him his life. And Bobby gave him no possession. Just touching base with him. Hey, here's a couple $100. Thanks again. Appreciate it. No. He's Terry's possession. Bobby is Terry's possession. If you were Bobby and you didn't give your life 100% to Terry, you are undeserving of that blood. Consider that scene this morning. That happened for you. The God of heaven gave his son his life for you. Picture this morning. Oh, you touch base with God occasionally. Oh, you go to church. We put the money in the bucket. We take care of somebody if they need something, but you have possession of your life. There's a great price to pay when you hold possession. Interesting story. One time I don't remember, soon after we moved up to our new house, we were invited to, I think, and I don't even remember if it was a 4th of July party or a Independence, I don't know what it was. But anyway, whatever was going to happen the next day was in honor of the fallen soldiers. So what is 4th of July probably? I don't know. Anyway, Veterans Day. And it just so happened that I had a neighbor that spent many years in the military, and he'd done some very, very life-threatening, and he lived a pretty, it was a difficult situation from my understanding. I had heard at one point he was a Navy SEAL, but he was a very secretive man. You heard very little about him. But that night, he was sitting beside me, and I tried to talk to him some, but he was just, that was who he was. You just knew that he lived over there, and you never heard nothing from him. And he was sitting beside me, and he asked me, he said, Nate, he said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I didn't even think about it. I said, well, we're going to go put a roof on. And he looked at me, and his eyes narrowed down, and he says, you're going to do what tomorrow? And I said, I'm sorry. We're going to put a roof on. But that's not the point. What I was doing was I was dishonoring the shedding of blood in his eyes. What he was thinking was this. You don't understand. You live in this quiet little house on the countryside. He said, you don't understand the shedding of blood for your freedom. And he was sorely offended that I was going to go to work the day that you were supposed to honor those men. I don't advocate going to war. I only use it as a story to tell you, where are you going tomorrow? That's a question for you. Where are you going Friday night? Excuse me? After the shedding of blood, where are you going Friday night? I'm sorry. I don't understand. Where are you going tomorrow? Wait. Do you know the cost for your soul? Have you considered the blood that was shed for you? Ask yourself, wait, where am I going tomorrow? Really? After the blood was shed, I'm still going to go there? Purchased. Without possession. Many men love freedom. They want to be free from everything. They want to be free from all forms of bondage. And that's a good desire. That's a good desire to have. But I want to tell you this morning that if you want to be free from the bondage of sin, you will automatically give full possession to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or I should say, that's the package. If you want to be delivered from the bondage of sin, you want freedom, you got to sell everything and give him full possession. You know, sometimes when you buy property, you know, it depends on what the property is, they'll want to hold some possession. They'll want to hold a certain amount of days to just allow them to just get their bearings straight and move some stuff out. And you know, we've got a lot of stuff in the garage. You know, I haven't gone through that stuff in 30 years. If, you know, go ahead and sign the deal and get the paperwork. But he said, just would you give me 60 days to just move it all out? Purchased. Without possession. Picture with me this morning a man that has a large piece of property, a beautiful piece of hunting property. And it's his dream piece of property. But he's in debt over his head, And he's been making these payments, scratching by, but he don't want to lose the property. And he sits down with the boys, and he's like, listen, guys, something got to change. I can't make the payments on this property anymore. What should we do? What should we do? The weight is too much. And furthermore, the other job dropped through. I don't think we're going to be able to make the payment next month. The weight of the monthly payment, the guilt. And he talks to the boys and he says, you know, I got an idea. What if we get a hold of a realtor and we have him write up a purchase agreement with a contingency on, you know, maybe we can hold the hunting rights. Guys, this was our dream property. This is what we wanted our whole life. But we can't afford it because we want to keep it, but we don't want it. But we want to keep it. But we want to be delivered, but we want to keep it. And so sure enough, the old businessman comes along and sees a beautiful piece of property. Tax time's rolling around. He needs to dump a bunch of money, and he's like, beautiful opportunity. I buy the property, and it says here that the guys want to maintain it and keep hunting it. It's a win-win for both of us. And so they sell the property with full possession. I'm concerned this morning that many Christians are trying to sell their sin with full possession of their life. I'm concerned this morning that Christians are trying to get rid of their sin with full possession of their life. And you're getting a win-win, right? You get to keep hunting the property and you don't have to make the payment. Paul talked about that this morning. Two offerings went up. One was rejected and one was received. Don't be deceived this morning. If you have bought the idea that I can meet Jesus at the cross and he'll take my sin and I'll take my life, your offering will not be accepted. First Corinthians 6 again says, you're the Lord's. You're not your own. You were bought with this blood. It was shed for you. You're not your own. 2 Corinthians 5 is a passage of scripture. That has always stuck out to me. In verse 14, it says, the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them. And he rose again. Constrained. The New Living says they were controlled. They were constrained. Bobby was not constrained by Terry. He was forever glad that he didn't have to go to the death penalty. He was forever glad that somebody else took his place. But he wasn't indebted to Terry. He hasn't given him full possession. He has not given him. That love did not constrain him. Does that love constrain you when you're going to go where on Friday night? Doesn't the love of Christ come alive in your heart and you say, no, I'm sorry. Almost a fear. I can't go there. Constrained by the love of Christ. I'm not talking about being under the law. I'm talking about being motivated. I'm talking about having the law of God written in your hearts, as Hebrews says, that you can't do it. Are you constrained by the love of God? Does he have possession? Is he in control, or are you? Are you dead to the life of sin? There's a scripture in Acts 4. I'm not going to read it. You know, maybe I will. Acts 4. You can turn to Acts 4. We're going to start in verse 14. This is a story of Peter and John. And they were going around and they were ministering. And they were actually, it says, and I don't know if it reads it here. Yeah, earlier in this, before 14, it says they were unlearned and they weren't very smart. And he said, but the scribes and Pharisees were saying, man, these men must have got a hold of Jesus somehow, because they're not even very smart, but they're affecting people. And he says in 14, and beholding the men, these are the people that they got John and them around, and they said, let's just read it. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could not say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a noble miracle has been done by them. Is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, put your ear close and listen. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you can judge that. He said, but for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were constrained by the love of God. They were constrained by the love of God. And that's my burden this morning. I don't know where any of you are this morning. Maybe you're having a hard day. Maybe you're going through a battle. And I'm not talking about living a sinless life. I'm talking about having no possession of your life, where you understand that it's okay. It's yours, God. It can be a challenge at all areas to give God full possession. So as you leave today, just ask yourself a question. Who has possession? How did you leave the cross? How did you leave the cross? I would suggest today, don't leave the cross. Don't leave the cross. Stay there, humble, receiving from Jesus Christ that blood that was shed for you. Do you have possession of your mind, of your whereabouts, where you will go, your marriage, your family, everything about you? Who has possession? Has he purchased you without possession? God bless you. And I pray today that if the Lord convicted you, and he did me as I looked at this, there was areas in my life that I'm like, Lord, I struggle in certain things of just giving God full control. We have, none of us have graduated. But I think we can come to a place where we understand that Christianity is giving God control. If we may struggle here and there with certain things, but we have to come to a place that if you want to be delivered from sin, he needs possession of your life. God bless you.